It's a Wolves Wednesday, which means, of course, we talk Timberwolves basketball here on KETE. Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. He is the producer of the broadcast and in-studio host. You hear him during the pre-games and half-times and post-games during our Timberwolves broadcast. You'll hear him tonight as the T-Wolves are back home at Target Center as they host Oklahoma City. We'll talk about that game and much more with Cal. And Callie, Happy New Year to you and a good afternoon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, of course. Happy New Year to you and everyone in Albert Lea. Hopefully everyone staying warm and had a good holiday weekend.
First things first, when it comes to talking about our Minnesota Timberwolves, are we finally past the COVID that went through the team? I saw that, I guess, Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell can return to conditioning, I think is what they call it. Any chance those guys play tonight?
Yeah, it's a great question, and they seem to be really, really close to being past it if they aren't officially past it. It certainly worked its way through the entire team, and they had some shorthanded matchups for a few games there. But, yeah, you're right. Cat and D'Lo, they cleared the protocols, I believe, late Sunday night, early Monday morning, which allowed them to return to more traditional, you know, workouts at the team facility. And then the only final hurdle to clear is getting themselves back into game shape and, you know, ramping up your conditioning again. When you're stuck in those protocols, there's only so many things you can do workout wise. And it kind of almost depends what kind of a gym situation you have at your own house, because that's where you're stuck isolating. So the fact that they were able to get back into the team facility a day or two ago and get through some workouts, I think will really help their chances tonight. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it came down to, let's put them through pregame warmups an hour or two before tip-off and make sure that they feel good, because everyone kind of responds to this differently. You know, when they catch this virus and spend the time isolated, you know, some guys show no symptoms, some guys show very few, other guys deal with it differently. So, you know, I think that both guys went through shoot-around today and were with the team. So they'll be ready to go game plan-wise. It's just a matter of if their conditioning is where sort of the training staff and coaching staff feel confident giving those guys their usual minutes. But I think everyone is cautiously optimistic that those guys are going to be back out there.
Now, Cal, it's kind of amazing when it comes to a COVID affecting the NBA. It hasn't been, is your team going to have to deal with it? It's more like, when is your team going to have to deal with it? I think I saw a story that Utah finally has a player. I shouldn't say finally, but Utah has someone that is in COVID protocol, and they're the last NBA team to be affected by COVID. So if you're a Utah Jazz fan, get ready for maybe a wild couple of weeks, because every team has gone through this, and it's hard to believe that there was one team left standing. The good thing for the NBA is that hopefully once this has spread through the league, everybody will be, you know, back with full rosters, because there's going to be some great basketball to be played in the final couple of months.
Yeah, it's an interesting deal. I certainly understood what you're talking about in terms of, you know, it gets to each team at different times. We saw it last year too, where, you know, some teams really were hit with it hard all at once, and they had two or three games postponed, and they had to wait a week to get healthy bodies back. And you could argue that that's maybe the preferable way to do it, because then you just play those games later on in your schedule. Certainly it's a more grueling schedule then, because you're playing more games in a concentrated amount of time, but you're doing it at full strength. Whereas this year, the league with some of the adjusted protocols to account for this new strain of the virus, it makes it so that you're almost forced to play these games shorthanded. You're probably playing a team that is shorthanded to an extent as well. And it just becomes a matter of, you know, which team maybe has more depth, which players are available to step up. I think we've seen Timberwolves guys like Naz Reid, Jalen Noel, Torian Prince. Last week it was Greg Monroe, just signed off the street to a 10-day contract. And so it's a matter of, you know, next man up mentality. We hear it across sports, certainly. And maybe, you know, as we get to March and April, when we really start to dial in on the standings and where everyone is, who's jockeying for position, we'll look back at this stretch of games, you know, in December and January, where, again, all teams dealt with it. And it's a matter of who kept their head above water and kept themselves in a good position to then get back to full strength and make a run.
Cal Soderquist again with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. You're on a Timberwolves Wednesday on Kate Radio. Patrick Beverly had some good sound bites this week, and my 13-year-old son, is he a big Clippers fan? I have no idea why. Timberwolves are number two on his list, and when the Timberwolves picked up Patrick Beverly, he was ecstatic because he loves Beverly. He has been such a difference maker for this team because he brings in a different kind of attitude. He's a guy that obviously he plays hard every single night. Your thoughts on how big of acquisition that has been for the Timberwolves, and especially now it seems like if things continue the way they are, Minnesota will be in the hunt for a playoff spot, or at least to play in the play-in game or a play-in game coming up later this season. How big of, I guess, pickup do you think that was getting Patrick Beverly?
Oh, I think it's massive, and I think it's one of those moves that, you know, you can't measure it by looking at the stat sheet every night. And certainly, you know, in that most recent win against the Clippers, Pat Bev had a great game in that one. I think a double-double in terms of points and assists, but it goes beyond that. It's been the impact that he's had in the locker room. He's really come in, and from day one, he's been willing to be, you know, a leader for this team. And you mentioned his playoff experience. This is something that the team, for the most part, lacks when you consider the struggles they've had the last couple years. And for him to come in and be able to, you know, just speak to guys about how the day-to-day goes, if you want to be a playoff team, you know, how you approach your workouts and your practices and your shoot-arounds, how you kind of get yourself up for the second end of a back-to-back, like we just saw the team do in that win over the Clippers. All those little things that, you know, really the great ones, the guys that do it for a long time, you know, the Kevin Garnetts of the world, we always hear about their intensity and their approach and, you know, their ability to get themselves ready for every single game, night in and night out. That's something that, you know, it's within certain players, the select few, and then the other guys just have to learn it. And I think if there's a guy on your team that's willing to teach you that stuff, it's invaluable. And again, it doesn't show up in the box score, but certainly Pat Bev will, you know, his effect will continue to be felt. His impact will be felt as this season goes along and the Wolves find themselves, hopefully, fingers crossed, in some meaningful games here in March and April down the road.
Cal, Pat was talking about that he feels appreciated by the Minnesota Timberwolves. He definitely has some high praises for head coach Chris Finch. When they made those moves in Los Angeles, they brought in Paul George, they brought in Kawhi, and you had him, and you also had, and why am I blanking? He won the sixth man many, many times. Lou Williams. Yeah, Lou Williams,
yeah,
as
Lou
well.
Will.
And you thought this was going to be a match made in heaven, and for some reason, those two, they got shipped out of town, and now Kawhi and Paul George are still there. And, you know, Patrick Beverly is definitely a guy that he does so many little things, and it was probably good for him to move on because the chemistry between Lou Will and Patrick Beverly and, again, Kawhi and Paul seems like it just never worked.
Yeah, I think part of it's probably a multi-layered deal, and certainly, you know, if you're Pat Bev, you're probably always going to be a little underappreciated on a team with, you know, with two all NBA caliber players in Paul George and in Kawhi Leonard. But he was still certainly a key piece to that team. And I think another part of it is whenever you have success like that team did and you get as close to the mountaintop, you know, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't get injured last year in that postseason, they easily could have come out of the West.
Instead of
the Phoenix Suns. So when that happens, we see it throughout sports. You know, when you have that collection of talent on a roster and they get that close and then you get to an off season, it's very, very difficult to retain all those players, to keep all those players happy, whether it be, you know, contract issues for guys who have deals coming up, or sometimes it's just guys who, you know, performed well during that postseason run, and then they are unhappy maintaining that same role. They think they need a bigger role, or they think they can do more, whether it's for that team or ultimately for another team. And I think, you know, Pat Bev has a ton of fun with some of those back and forths with former teammates whenever he plays those guys. And I know he loves reconnecting even with former media members. That's, you know, he had a great media session post game after that Clipper win. And I think he knows it's a business. I don't know if he harbors, you know, all that much legitimate ill will towards the Clippers. I think it's more of a deal where he'll create that motivation, so to speak, where he's thriving in this new role and he appreciates the opportunity, that sort of thing. I think that's the kind of the best way to describe it, but it's certainly a multi-layered deal. And I think ultimately, you know, this Wolves team, the coaching staff, and certainly all the fans are super happy to have him in that Wolves uniform now.
Cal Soderquist, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. We'll hear from Cal coming up on the pregame show tonight, Oklahoma City at Target Center. And Cal, I look at this schedule in January, and this is a tough haul for our Minnesota Timberwolves. The next games, I think, are very important. You got a home and home with Oklahoma City. You're at Houston on Sunday. You're at New Orleans on Tuesday. Those are four very winnable games. And the reason I bring up that it's a tough January is I think the Timberwolves are only at home four times in the entire month. We had a lot of home games early in the season. Eventually, that's going to go the opposite way. We got Golden State at home, Brooklyn, Utah, the other home games. So our lack of home games, those matchups are not very easy. Would you call this kind of a make-or-break month for Minnesota? Because, again, they're going to spend most of the month away from Target Center.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. I think you'll know a lot more about the team on the other side of this month. You mentioned, you know, the lack of home games, and you know, that would mean one thing if it's last year when it's empty buildings, and I don't know how much the guys cared playing in one building or another without fans. But this year, you know, the Wolves have really, they've done a great job of packing the building on most nights and really creating that home court atmosphere that the team has kind of strived to put together. I think the emergence of Anthony Edwards certainly has given all the fans a reason to come out, even for weekday matchups or matchups against those sort of non-elite opponents. But yeah, when you only have four of them in a month, and then, you know, you look at February and there's only, with the All-Star break in February, it's a short month to begin with, and there are even fewer games in that month for you to either, you know, make up ground or continue to sort of boost your positioning. So yeah, I think when we get out of January and we look at where the Wolves are in standings, it's probably going to tell a pretty accurate picture of whether or not they'll have a chance come March and April. And, you know, you mentioned only four home games. It's the Thunder tonight, and then I believe it's the Warriors and the Nets. And I don't have the fourth and final one in front of me.
Utah.
So there you go. Those final three teams are maybe some of the top title contenders in the league right now, when you look at how they've played. So it really even makes tonight all that much more important when you consider, you know, the Wolves have in their history, maybe not as much this year, but they've played down to their opponents. And that's been an issue. So they got to really make sure they give OKC proper respect and come out hot, you know, don't start the game slow and make sure they recognize the importance of this one.
Cal, before I let you go, you mentioned Anthony Edwards. He had 28 points in that win on Monday. The couple of games I've been to this year, I hear fans around me, they absolutely love Anthony Edwards. They love his smile. They think it's infectious what he does on the court. And I think a lot of people like his pizzazz, because I think it was Carl Anthony Towns maybe a few weeks ago was talking about that Ant is the best at everything. He tells everybody, if you put the word player behind it, he's the best at everything. My son was sharing a story with me that in honor of Madden passing away, John Madden, that he went on Madden and beat someone by 50 points just to honor the late, great John Madden. I mean, this young guy, I mean, we got to keep him here forever, but he has definitely been, like you mentioned, worth the price of admission when it comes to, you know, maybe you don't want to go down on a Wednesday or a Monday night to watch the Timberwolves, but this guy's, he's worth the trip.
Oh, yeah, he's worth the price of admission, like you said, and I think it's one of those deals where he has a certain style of play. You know, he has so much fun playing the game. And not even just basketball, but you mentioned the Madden games against people online. He loves to talk other sports. And I think, you know, especially when you get him in front of a home crowd at Target Center and he makes a couple of those plays that get you out of your seat. You know, whether it's one of those deep threes, we know he has the athleticism to jump out of the gym. And the fans love it, and then he feeds off of that from the fans. And it's kind of a back and forth. They each sort of feed off of each other then, and you're off to the races. So it's been a ton of fun. He has so much fun playing the game, and you can see it in his smile and in the way he's bouncing around. And I think it's infectious, like you mentioned, both for teammates and for the fans.
Well, hopefully Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell possibly back in the lineup tonight. Again, a home-and-home with Oklahoma City tonight and Friday. We'll have both games for you right here on KETE. We'll hear from Cal in the pregame show coming up at 6:30 tonight. Again, Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network on a Timberwolves Wednesday. Cal, thank you so much for the time. Let's go get a couple of wins against the Thunder this week, and we'll touch base next week.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds good. Thanks, Aaron. Go Wolves.